Hoosier Ag Today presents your Purdue Extension, a podcast network. A podcast partnership between Purdue University Extension and Indiana's most listened to farm radio network, Hoosier Ag Today.
Hi, and welcome to the Your Farm Podcast, as Hoosier Ag Today presents Your Purdue Extension, a podcast network. And today we're talking about Christmas trees because 'tis the season. We're about a month removed from that big day, Christmas Day. And of course, a lot of folks are rushing to get that perfect Christmas tree for their home this time of year, to get it decorated, to get the gifts under the tree, to have that perfect celebration on Christmas morning. And joining us here today on the Your Farm Podcast is a good friend of mine. It's Lenny Farley. He's a Purdue forester with Purdue Extension. He's been with Purdue Extension for several years, many years now. And we're talking about Christmas trees, Lenny, and the environmental and sustainability benefits of having real Christmas trees in your home. Because Lenny, I'm sure you grew up like I did, having a real tree in your home. You also remember, like a lot of us kids growing up, watching a Charlie Brown Christmas, how Charlie insisted to Linus and everyone else during that cartoon, we've got to have a real tree for our Christmas play. And so a lot of folks since that time in the mid-60s have been putting live trees in their home. About that time, it was a lot of aluminum trees from what I've read, a lot of plastic trees, which you still find those trees that you can assemble, you can buy at the store and put together, but nothing beats having a real tree in your home this time of year, Lenny.
That's absolutely true, CJ, and I really have great memories as a kid going out to a choose and cut Christmas tree farm and with the family picking out a tree and then shaking the needles out before we got it in the house and setting it up. So it's a great family experience. There's also some really significant environmental benefits to using live trees, real Christmas trees, as your Christmas tree decoration.
Lenny, what are some tips for some first-time Christmas tree buyers? Because a lot of times you don't know, you just know what the tree should look like, but you don't know a fir tree from a pine tree, from a cedar tree, from... And then not only do you have the different types of trees, but you have different types of firs, cedars, pines, and whatnot. What are some tips for first-time Christmas tree buyers, Lenny?
Yeah, it can get to be overwhelming because the choices now have really expanded. Historically, in Indiana, when I was a kid, the choice was pretty much find an eastern red cedar out in the pasture or the woods that you had access to, which was kind of the early choice for many folks before we had many Christmas tree farms, or Scotch pine was one of the earliest Christmas trees available. Now we have Scotch pine, white pine, several different firs, some spruces. So there's lots of choices, and a lot of it gets down to what you want to pay. And so the firs are kind of some of the premium, but they also have some of the best characteristics in terms of really good odor, good needle retention. They have a short needle, which some folks really like, pretty stout branches. A little bit further down the line in terms of cost are things like spruces. Once again, very attractive, single needles, a little bit shorter needles, but they don't have as good or needle retention and sometimes as good an odor as the firs do. And then we've got the pines, and mostly white pine and Scotch pine, and still very attractive Christmas trees, good needle retention. But just a little less expensive in that they sometimes don't have the look that some people are looking for in that classic Christmas tree. So lots of choices, which they can look at in terms of price points, needle retention based on how long they want to keep the tree in the home. And so those are considerations in terms of what species they may be able to look at. And we actually have a Purdue publication that provides information on selecting what type of tree you want to have for your home, and has photos of the foliage in those trees so they can take a look at that.
Oh, that's fantastic. In fact, I was going to ask you, because when you were talking about the different Christmas trees, and by the way, we're chatting with Lenny Farley, Extension Forester, here on the Your Farm podcast, as we talk about Christmas trees for your home during the holidays. And my mind automatically went to Clark Griswold and National Lampoon's Christmas Vacation, where he goes out and gets a tree. First of all, it's way too big for the living room. It's way too tall for the living room. And then I remember when he's saying, lots of sap. And he's lying in bed next to his wife, Beverly D'Angelo, and his fingers are covered in sap, and he gets her hair stuck in his fingers. Are there any trees that you would recommend that perhaps have a little too much sap, or perhaps, you know what, let's stay away from this particular type of tree? Is there any tree that you would recommend us not going with this time of year, Lenny?
I think the sap is really can kind of be an issue that you can manage if you're careful with handling. And the nice thing is, usually by the time we're cutting our trees for Christmas, it's not as big an issue. One of the issues with the sap is if the trees have been damaged or attacked by insects, they naturally exude sap as a protective mechanism. And the Christmas tree farmers are typically taking good care of their trees, so you don't have that big of an issue. And almost any of them can be sappy if you have that issue going on. I think the biggest lesson to learn is check the size of your room before you select your Christmas tree, because, you do want to be able to make sure it fits in there without having it bent over or sawing off the top. So that's probably the biggest thing to think about. And then one of the other things we think about in terms of longevity of your tree in your home is not having it too close to heat sources or wind blowing. And so thinking about heat registers, fireplaces, wood stoves, those, it's better to stay away from those because they do have a tendency to dry out your tree. So those are some considerations for placement, and also get that tape measure out and figure out how big of a tree you can actually fit in your space.
Well, you mentioned making sure that the needles don't dry out, to make sure that the tree still has some water in it. And I remember my mom, when I was a little boy, when we would have a live tree in the house, that she would say, go fill the bucket or the pitcher full of water and replace the water at the bottom of the tree, just to keep that water in the tree and to keep the needles from drying out, Lenny.
That's critical for keeping a tree in good shape over the long term. So kind of the protocol is, if you either cut a tree yourself or buy a cut tree, once you get it home, saw off about an inch of that base on the trunk, and that's going to create a nice fresh spot for it to soak up water. And then you want to have a container for your tree, a tree stand that has a nice big water basin, because your tree can use a couple quarts of water a day, particularly early on, and you don't want that to dry out. And so it's really important to continue to check and refill that water, because if it does dry out, you actually need to cut off another half inch to an inch at the base of that trunk, because it'll dry out and not take up new water. So mom was right. Keep that water basin full, and that's going to keep your tree fresh.
Absolutely. We're chatting with Lenny Farley, Extension Forester with Purdue Extension, here on the Your Farm podcast. And we're going to tackle some other topics, including the sustainability efforts of trees, environmental benefits of having a live Christmas tree in your home that you can replant after the holidays are finished. We'll chat more with Lenny coming up here in just a few on the Your Farm podcast, as Hoosier Ag Today presents your Purdue Extension, a Purdue Extension podcast network.
The average American reaches for their mobile phone about 350 times a day. For Indiana farmers, that number is probably higher, as the Hoosier Ag Today mobile app keeps them updated on the latest markets, weather, and farm news information. If you haven't downloaded this free app, you're missing out on a powerful and portable resource. The Hoosier Ag Today mobile app can be downloaded at the Apple Store and Google Play, and at HoosierAgToday.com. The Hoosier Ag Today mobile app.
Welcome back to the Your Farm podcast, as Hoosier Ag Today presents Your Purdue Extension, a podcast network. I'm CJ Miller, your host, and my guest today is Lenny Farley, Purdue Extension Forester as we're talking about Christmas trees, getting one, a real Christmas tree in your home this holiday season. And let's pivot now and talk a little bit about the Indiana Christmas Tree Growers Association, because there are a whole host of vendors all across the state in all 92 counties where you can very easily find a farm, a Christmas tree farm, and a vendor in your backyard, and someone who's a member of the Indiana Christmas Tree Growers Association, and find them easily online and pick up one just down the road or maybe in your neck of the woods from where you live, Lenny.
Yeah, they make it really easy. If you go to the Indiana Christmas Tree Growers Association website, they have a map of the Christmas tree farms that are available. And if by chance you don't want to visit a Christmas tree farm, in many cases these folks are also selling Christmas trees to other vendors, a variety of stores and outlets across the state. So you've got access to that local source of trees. And I think in terms of sustainability, environmental friendliness, one of the best things you can do is think about buying your tree locally. And so finding local sources of trees, whether you want to go to a choose and cut operation and have that family experience of cutting down your own tree, or whether you want to buy a pre-cut tree either at one of the farms or one of the local sales outlets that they have, those all really limit the amount of energy we're expending in terms of transporting those trees. And I think as importantly, you're supporting local farms and local rural ventures to keep those folks in business doing this sustainable activity. One of the great stories of live Christmas trees is for every tree cut, typically there's 1 to 3 trees planted. Only about 20 to 30% of the trees in a farm might be cut every year, sometimes less. And so there's this constant cover of trees on this site that's great for soil conservation. It's providing some wildlife habitat. It provides a really beautiful landscape for many folks to see with those conifers out there year-round. So there's a lot of great stories associated with those local Christmas tree farmers providing Christmas trees for folks to develop those memories with those sales and those experiences.
Lenny, let's talk about the option of putting a live Christmas tree. And when I say live tree, I'm talking about a living tree that after the holidays are done, you can remove from inside your home and replant, and the tree still has life after having served its purpose inside your home as a Christmas tree, Lenny.
Yeah, it is an option. There are some limitations to the use of it, and we'll talk about those a little bit, but it's a nice option to have a live tree in your house and then actually be able to plant it out later as landscaping or for conservation purposes on your property. So one of the considerations is a live tree like that, you can't keep in the house as long as a fresh cut tree that you keep water on. They have an issue with in terms of cycling of temperatures. And so if they stay too warm for too long, it can actually have an impact on the overall health of the tree and create problems. So about 10 days is about the timeline you can keep a live tree in your home and then be able to, with some confidence, it's going to be okay after the fact, take it back out and get it planted. The other thing to think about is you're trying to plant that tree in the winter. And so if we've got frozen ground conditions, you don't want to be trying to dig a hole in. It's a good idea to pre-dig your hole and cover it with boards or some mulch, and then go back out and have it ready to go when you're ready to actually replant your tree after the Christmas season is over. So there's actually a nice horticulture publication from Purdue, Living Christmas Trees for the Holiday and Beyond is the publication. That gives some really good information on how to handle having a live tree in your home and then how to transition it back out to planting.
Chatting with Lenny Farley, Purdue Extension Forester here on the Your Farm Podcast. Also want to talk about recycling of Christmas trees after the holidays, because when you go to that local Christmas tree farm and you purchase that live tree and you put it up in your house, come January 2nd, once the holidays are done, you're unfurling the lights and you're taking down the bulbs and you're trying to figure out, what do I do next with this tree? What are some things that folks can do to recycle those trees after the holidays, Lenny?
Yeah, great question, and a really good opportunity to put those trees to further use and work. So what you mentioned is really the first step. Make sure that your tree is completely clear of all lights, all decorations, all ornaments. So you want it back to the natural tree. And once you've got it cleaned off like that, there are several options. And so many towns and municipalities actually offer, in many cases, curbside pickup of trees, and they will do mulching and may use that mulch on some trails or for other purposes for the town. Some do collections at certain points, and once again, will oftentimes do mulching. And that's a good use for the tree if you don't have a personal use for it. But here are some ideas of how you could potentially use your Christmas tree and extend its use on your own property. One is to cut the log of the tree, the central part, into sections and save those logs as use for a Yule log next Christmas. Now, you don't want to burn those fresh logs or pieces in your fireplace or wood stove because they've got a lot of pitch. And so it's a good idea to let them dry out and not burn them until next year. If you want to have a campfire outside with your Christmas tree parts, that's also perfectly fine and a pretty good use. And you can use those trees pretty quickly with an outside campfire. So that's an option. The other thing folks can do is keep their Christmas tree intact and use it as a bird feeder. And so you can actually take your Christmas tree out, lean it against a fence, prop it up in some place, stake it up if you want to, or actually even lay it down on the yard. And you can place soot cakes, garland made out of things like cranberries and popcorn. Sometimes we take pine cones, kind of jam peanut butter in them and then roll them in seeds. All those make great bird feeders and provide a cover for the birds as well in terms of the birds being able to run in and out of the branches and the greenery. So there's several different things you can do to reutilize your Christmas tree after the holiday season. One that, once again, you need landowner permission to do is some folks will drop Christmas trees into ponds for fish structure. But you definitely don't want to do that in public ponds or in any places where you don't have permission, very much like cutting trees. So that's, once again, check with the neighbors, check with the sources to make sure you've got permission to do that before you try that. But that's also an option.
I'm sorry, because I have a picture in my head of a housing addition with a retention pond, and then you have all these these used Christmas trees come January 3rd, 4th, and 5th just floating at the top of these retention ponds. So, yes, please do not discard your Christmas tree in a retention pond. And once again, you recommend if you own your own lake, pond, that sort of thing, it's a completely different story, Lenny.
Absolutely. So, yeah, if you're on the land, you've got a lot of latitude as to what you can do, but don't take privileges that you don't have from other folks. So,
absolutely. Lenny, you have forgotten more about forestry than I will ever learn in my lifetime. So if folks want to ask you questions, not just about Christmas trees, but forestry in general, certain types of, especially as we get closer to springtime, folks, and you and I have chatted here recently for a different news story about trees to consider to plant for spring in your woodlands. Any questions about that or different sorts of invasive plants, invasive pests, any sort of question that's forestry related, how can folks who are watching this get a hold of you and your team with Purdue Extension, Lenny?
Great. So you can do a web search on Department of Forestry and Natural Resources Extension. So Purdue Forestry and Natural Resources Extension will get you right to us. We have loads of publications, videos, webinars, and also a contact list for those of us in Extension with the department. And certainly encourage you to do that. You can actually even join our email and newsletter list, and so you can get regular updates of what we're doing. So that's a great way to make contact with us. My personal email address for work is lfarlee@purdue.edu, and I also welcome questions through that avenue as well. So we are here to help the citizens of Indiana and further out in the Midwest get answers for their natural resource questions.
Once again, Lenny Farley, Purdue Extension Forester, And you know how every time you and I chat, you and I could chat for hours about Christmas trees and forestry and all sorts of different things. But we'll look forward to having you as a guest here sometime here soon, perhaps again this spring. And Lenny, once again, from all of us here at Hoosier Ag today, Merry Christmas to you and happy holidays to your family as well.
Appreciate that very much. Merry Christmas to you folks. It's always a pleasure to be on with you.
Once again, Lenny Farley, Purdue Extension Forester. We'll have more information at HoosierAgToday.com about Christmas trees. And once again, from all of us at Hoosier Ag Today, we certainly thank you for watching and being a part of what we do each and every day throughout the course of the year. So Merry Christmas to you and Happy New Year. And thank you so much for watching the Your Farm Podcast as Hoosier Ag Today presents Your Purdue Extension. I'm CJ Miller.